Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts. Here's Daniel's prompt.
Hey, Herman and Corn, greetings from IKEA, where I am currently bringing you this message. I'm here with little Ezra and Hannah, and we are on a mission to get a crib for Ezra. But as you know, getting out to IKEA is hard to find the time. It's in a kind of obscure place. And while we're here, we like to kind of keep our eye out for other things you might need. I'm usually in need of more storage, but we've kind of capped out how much stuff we can cram into our small apartment. And what I'm working on at the moment is my home office, which I take great pride in, has now been shared by little Ezra. So my area in which to sprawl has become smaller. But more than that, at the moment I'm on a big voice productivity kick. And really, I say going into 2026, trying to make my work, work-life balance and the places that I work a bit more fluid. I'm a huge desktop fan. I use a desktop day to day. I have a nice 3-screen array. And I've worked like this for like 8 or 10 years at this point. So it's very familiar to me. And I have a nice big desk. I would love to have a height adjustable desk. Not so much for a standing desk, but just to get the kind of like height adjustment right. But they're very expensive. So I'm making my upgrade. I make my upgrades kind of one by one. The latest one was getting an ergonomic office chair a few months ago. And after getting it, I have no idea why it took me so long. It's brilliant. So I really want to kind of keep rolling with this. And in general, what I'm looking for more than a piece of furniture is sort of a way to create my workspace that is more amenable to using voice tools to interface with my computer, or using mobile for that matter. So it could be things like, you know, a nice workspace to do. Created a few printed books of amazing home offices, and I created another one, working spaces of world leaders. I trawled the internet to find photos of heads of state at their offices, which are actually frequently, you almost never see in the news. So they're kind of these rare glimpses. I also did ones with great ones I found on Reddit. I just like to draw inspiration from the way people lay out their workspaces a lot. And for voice in particular, I know that I feel like there's some groups of people and that might be instructive to look to because they've been using voice productivity tools for longer than most people. The one I keep running into when I'm looking into voice stuff is radiologists, I guess dictating medical notes. But that's a pretty niche part of the workspace. But anyway, for those who really kind of are passionate and believe, as I do, that this is the way forward, and that we want to do everything we can to move away from the purely desk-centric way of working wherever we are, whether that's in an office or in our home. What do you think are some interior design suggestions you can make? And while I'm here in IKEA, anything you recommend that I can pick up to get me started?
So, Herman, did you hear that background noise in Daniel's message? The clatter of IKEA carts and the distant sound of meeples? It really takes me back to our last trip there.
Oh, I heard it. Herman Poppleberry here, and I can practically smell the Swedish pine and the overwhelming sense of existential dread that comes with navigating the lighting department. But Daniel's on a mission, a crib for Ezra and a total overhaul of his voice productivity setup. It is a bold move for 2026, but honestly, it is the logical next step for anyone trying to escape the tyranny of the QWERTY keyboard.
It is interesting, though. He's talking about moving away from that classic three-screen desktop array he has lived with for a decade. That is a massive psychological shift. We have spent so long tethered to these blowing rectangles, and now he wants the room itself to become the interface. Our housemate is basically trying to turn his home office into a cockpit, where his voice is the primary control.
And that is exactly where interior design meets technical performance. Most people think about a voice-focused workspace, and they just think about buying a better microphone. But as we have discussed in past episodes, specifically back in episode 206 when we talked about Pro Audio for AI Control, the room is actually your most important piece of hardware. If the room sounds like a hollow echo chamber, your high-end AI agent is going to struggle to parse your intent.
Right, and Daniel mentioned he is looking for more storage, but he is capped out on space in that apartment. It is a classic Jerusalem housing problem. Small rooms, high ceilings, and stone walls that bounce sound around like a pinball machine. So, Herman, if we are looking at this from a design perspective, where do we even start? How do you make a room amenable to voice without it looking like a padded cell?
Well, the first thing we have to tackle is what I call acoustic hygiene. In a voice-first environment, you are fighting two enemies, reverberation and ambient noise. Hard surfaces are the enemy. Daniel's big desk, those three monitors, the stone walls, they all reflect sound waves. When you speak, the sound hits the wall, bounces back, and hits the mic a few milliseconds later. This creates a muddy signal.
And in 2026, while AI models have gotten much better at de-reverberation, it still adds latency. If the model has to spend extra compute cycles cleaning up your audio, your fluid workflow starts to feel sluggish. It is like trying to run in water.
Exactly. You want that crisp, dry signal. So, my first IKEA recommendation for Daniel is the ODD-LAUG sound-absorbing panels. They look like little gray circles you link together. You can hang them on a wall or even use them as a room divider. They are not as industrial looking as professional foam, but they do a great job of breaking up those standing waves.
I like those because they are modular. He could actually hang them behind his monitors or on the wall he faces when he's dictating. But what about the floor? Those Jerusalem tile floors are beautiful, but they are acoustic nightmares.
Rugs, corn, deep pile rugs. IKEA has the Vindum or the STO incense. You want something with density. The more surface area you have to catch the sound, the better. If Daniel puts a thick rug under his desk and extending out into the room, he's already cut his echo by 30 or 40%.
That makes sense. But let's talk about the fluidity he mentioned. He wants to move between mobile and desktop. He mentioned he wants a height-adjustable desk. You have been looking into the ergonomics of voice work lately, haven't you?
I have. This is a fascinating second-order effect of the voice revolution. When you sit down, your diaphragm is compressed. Your lung capacity is actually slightly restricted compared to when you are standing. If you are doing heavy dictation or running a business via voice agents all day, standing up allows for better breath control and a clearer, more authoritative tone. It sounds minor, but after 4 hours of talking to your computer, the physical fatigue of sitting is real.
So the desk isn't just about posture for your back, it's about posture for your voice.
Precisely. IKEA's Ideason is the gold standard there. It is much sturdier than the cheaper Bekent models, which is crucial because if your desk wobbles while you are talking, or if you have a boom arm attached to it, that vibration can travel right into the microphone. The Ideason has a great under-desk cable management net too, which helps with Daniel's storage and clutter problem.
Let's pause there for a second. We've got the foundation, the acoustics, and the desk. But before we get into the mobile integration and that interesting radiologist connection Daniel mentioned, we need to hear from someone who has a very different idea of what a productive home office looks like.
Oh boy, is it time?
It's time. Let's take a quick break for our sponsors.
Are you tired of war mind? It freenator rationary. Lead-lined, heavy-duty canvas bag that fits comfortably or mostly comfortably over your entire head and shoulders. Featuring our patented Silens Weaved a Wave technology, the MuffleMaster 5000 traps your voice inside, ensuring that not even a whisperick, it's Sile Bellad, Nopples Malus, Drew Life, Corposed, Sile Higo, Bells Road, it is, so benevolent to bell, you can miss a beezle all of it.
Thanks, Larry. I think I'll stick with the acoustic panels, personally. I don't think Daniel wants to wear a lead-lined bag while Ezra is taking a nap.
Yeah, the inability to see your own hands sounds like a bit of a productivity killer. Anyway, back to the real world. We were talking about the transition from a three-screen array to a voice-fluid workspace. Daniel mentioned he's a huge desktop fan, but he wants to move away from being desk-centric. This is a huge theme in 2026.
It really is. We are seeing this shift where the computer is no longer a box under the desk, but a series of agents that follow you. As we discussed in episode 252 about AI agents, the interface is becoming ambient. So how does Daniel design for that?
You have to create landing zones. If he's moving from his desk to a chair, or even just pacing the room, while he thinks which a lot of voice users do he needs his mobile device to be accessible, but not in the way. IKEA has some surprisingly great tech-adjacent furniture now. I'd look at the MIT Design line. They have these acoustic screens on wheels. Imagine Daniel has his main desk, but then he has a small mobile MIT Design station where he can dock his phone or tablet.
That's smart. It allows the center of gravity in the room to shift. If he's doing a deep dive research session, he's at the Ida Cian desk. If he's just processing emails via voice, he can move to a more comfortable chair and have his mobile device on a stand. Speaking of stands, did you see the ones Daniel was looking at?
The Sigfinden is the classic wooden one, but for a voice-focused setup, I actually prefer the Bergens. It's tiny, cheap, and made of bamboo. He should buy 5 of them and just have them scattered around the apartment. One in the kitchen, one by the sofa, 2 in the office. It sounds simple, but the friction of voice productivity often comes from not having the device at the right angle for the wake word to trigger or for the Face ID to unlock.
That is a great point. Specificity matters. If your phone is lying flat on a desk, the microphones are often partially obscured, or the beamforming technology that isolates your voice has to work harder because of the reflections from the desk surface. By propping it up at a 60-degree angle on a bamboo stand, you are giving those mics a clear line of sight to your mouth.
And let's talk about the storage problem Daniel mentioned. He's in a small apartment. He has a new baby, Ezra, taking up space. He needs to clear the decks. In a voice-first world, visual clutter is mental clutter. If your desk is covered in papers and knickknacks, you are less likely to feel fluid.
I've always found that when I'm using voice commands, I tend to look around the room more. When you are typing, your eyes are locked on the cursor. When you are talking, your eyes wander. If the room is messy, it's distracting.
Exactly. So, IKEA Scottish pegboards. They are a cliche for a reason. Daniel can get all those peripherals, the headphones, the spare cables, the mobile battery packs off the desk surface and onto the wall. This clears acoustic space on the desk too. Fewer objects on the desk means fewer surfaces for sound to bounce off of before it hits his microphone.
You know, Daniel mentioned radiologists. That was such a sharp observation. I did a bit of reading on this. Radiologists were actually the early adopters of high-end voice recognition back in the late 90s and early 2000s. They had to look at complex images while dictating detailed medical reports. They couldn't look down at a keyboard.
It is the ultimate eyes-busy, hands-busy workflow. And what's fascinating is that if you look at modern radiology reading rooms, they are designed specifically for voice. They have high-backed, sound-dampening chairs. They use directional noise-canceling microphones on boom arms so the mic is always 2 inches from their mouth, regardless of where they are looking.
That's a key takeaway for Daniel. If he wants to be serious about this, he should move away from the built-in mic on his laptop or even a podcaster mic sitting on the desk. He needs a boom arm. IKEA doesn't sell a great one yet, but they do sell the Lanyes Palau ring light, which has a cold shoe mount. You can actually rig a lot of gear onto their gaming furniture line.
Or he could use the Scottis pegboard to mount a custom boom arm. But the real lesson from the radiologists is the flow state. They design their environment so that the act of inputting data feels invisible. The high-backed chair Daniel got, that ergonomic office chair he mentioned, is a great start. It supports his spine so he isn't slouching, which again helps with the vocal projection.
I wonder about the 3-screen array he's using. If he moves to voice, does he still need all that glass, or does that actually become a hindrance?
It is a trade-off. Screens are great for output, seeing the results of your work, but they are terrible for input via voice because they are giant, flat, reflective surfaces. If you have 3 monitors tilted toward you, you've essentially built a whispering gallery that focuses all the ambient noise of the room right back at your face and your microphone.
Wow, I hadn't thought of that. So the monitors are actually acting like acoustic mirrors.
Precisely. If Daniel wants to keep the 3 screens, he needs to be even more aggressive with the sound treatment behind him. When he speaks, the sound goes past the mic, hits the monitors, bounces back to the wall behind him, and then back into the mic. It's a loop.
So, if he's at IKEA, he should look at the MIT Zone acoustic screens, not just for the sides, but maybe even to place behind his monitors or on the wall behind his chair.
Yes! And let's talk about the mobile aspect. In 2026, our phones are basically the brains of our AI agents. Daniel wants his office to be amenable to mobile. That means charging. Nothing kills the fluidity of a voice workflow like your phone dying mid-sentence because the AI processing is draining the battery.
IKEA's SJZOMA COIA wireless charger is a hidden gem for this. You mount it under the desk or table. It can charge through wood or plastic. Daniel could turn a section of his IDOS desk into a stealth charging zone. He just sets his phone down on a specific spot, and it stays topped up while he's using it as a voice hub. No cables, no clutter.
That is brilliant. It fits that invisible tech vibe he's going for. You know, we should probably talk about the weird factor of voice productivity in a shared house. He lives with us, and now he has Ezra. If he's in there, talking to himself all day, how does the interior design help manage the human element?
That's where the visual cue comes in. We've talked about this in the context of deep work before. If Daniel is in a voice session, he needs a way to signal to us, and eventually to Ezra when he's older, that he's on air. IKEA's smart lighting, the Chorty Pro line, is perfect for this. He could have a small lamp, like the Fado globe that turns red when his microphone is active.
It's a do not disturb sign for the 21st century. It prevents that awkward moment where I walk in to ask if he wants coffee and I end up being transcribed into his notes on the future of the Nezhev document. Which, by the way, if you haven't heard episode 256, we did a deep dive on building smart cities in the desert. Very relevant to Daniel's interests.
Exactly. It's about setting boundaries in a shared space. So, to summarize the IKEA shopping list for Daniel, IDOSine desk for sturdiness and standing height, ODDLAU, or MIT it's on panels, for acoustic hygiene, a thick vine doom rug, a few Berginas stands, a Steno, a Mercair to dried lights for status signaling.
And don't forget the Scottis pegboards to get that storage under control. If he clears the visual clutter, the voice flow will follow. It's about creating a zen space where the only thing moving is the air between his mouth and the microphone.
It's funny, we've gone from talking about how to use a computer to how to talk to a room. The interior design of the office is becoming the user interface. It reminds me of that concept of ambient intelligence we touched on in episode 249. When the tech works, it disappears.
And that's the goal. Daniel shouldn't feel like he's using a tool. He should feel like he's just thinking out loud. The room should be his partner in that process. I'm actually really excited to see how he sets this up. Although, if he starts wearing a Larry-style Muffle Master bag, I'm moving out.
Fair enough. I think the stone walls of our place in Jerusalem are the biggest challenge, but with enough Swedish polyester panels, anything is possible.
Truly. You know, we've been doing this for 260 episodes now, and the prompts just keep getting more specific. I love it. It reflects how our relationship with technology is becoming so much more personal and integrated into our physical spaces.
It really does. And hey, if any of you listening have your own voiced-first setups or tips for making a home office sound like a professional studio without spending a fortune, we'd love to hear about it. Or if you found a weird IKEA hack that solves a problem we haven't even thought of yet.
Yeah, get in touch. You can find a contact form on our website at myweirdprompts.com. And while you're there, you can check out the full archive of episodes. If you're new to the show, there's a lot to catch up on.
And if you are enjoying these deep dives into the mundane and the mind-bending, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on Spotify or your podcast app of choice. It genuinely helps the show reach new people who might be wondering why their voice assistant can't understand them through their tile floors.
It makes a massive difference. We see every one of them, and it keeps us motivated to keep digging into these rabbit holes.
Well, I think we've given Daniel enough of a to-do list to keep him busy at IKEA for at least 4 or 5 hours. Hopefully Ezra stays asleep for the whole trip.
One can only dream. But hey, if the baby wakes up, Daniel can always test out the acoustics of the IKEA cafeteria. I hear the meatballs have surprisingly good sound dampening properties.
I'll take your word for it, Herman Puppleberry. All right, I think that's a wrap for today.
Thanks for listening to my weird prompts. We'll be back next week with another one from Daniel, hopefully one that doesn't involve him carrying a heavy desk up 3 flights of stairs.
We can only hope. Until next time.
Bye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.